Well, I think that there is a great temptation that we all feel, and it's a great temptation that we face as people who regularly come to worship, who do this thing called church, this Christian life together, and the temptation that we feel and the temptation that we often face when we come to places like this, Good Shepherd, is to pretend as if our lives are perfect. Do you ever feel that temptation? Do you know what it's like to lie between your gritted teeth when you respond, everything's great, when in fact, nothing feels great in your life? Or am I the only one? I have to believe that you are something like me. I think it's a real temptation that is toxic, not just for us, but for the world. We feel this pressure to pretend at church that things are hunky-dory when they're not. I don't know what it is. We dress maybe a little bit nicer. We put on the smile. We come to this happy place to sing happy songs. Heck, our churches even have things across America called praise bands. And I've always said, if a church has a praise band, then it must also have a lament band. Because praise is not the only experience of the human life. Lament is also an experience, an emotion, a feeling. If you were to read through the Psalms of David, you would find equal parts praise and lament. And yet, in our everyday lives of faith, I think we struggle with being authentic, with being vulnerable, with being real. And I think that we face this temptation at a heightened level during this exact season, the season of the church year called Easter. A few weeks ago on Easter morning, Pastor Alex preached a wonderful sermon. And in other words, Pastor Alex said, love and life win. The tomb is empty. Anything that would demean, divide, fracture, or cheapen us has been overcome by the cross of Christ and the empty tomb. All of these statements are true. I believe them. I've said them week after week after week in worship leadership. And yet, if we're not careful, our Easter alleluias can feel like hollow platitudes that we live on. That's why during this season, we are jumping into this series titled Lifelines. How can the words that we say on Easter, love and life win, the tomb is empty, death has been defeated, how can those statements actually be true on Easter Monday? When we go back into the real world, into our real lives, where our hearts ache and break, where we experience suffering and pain, how can the promise of the resurrection actually hold up in a society, in a world, in our lives that are marred with doubt and pain and confusion? That's why we want to be really intentional here at Good Shepherd, so that our proclamation doesn't fall on deaf ears. I think God has something so much more profound for us that makes room and space for us to feel the depth of our agony, our pain, our questions. You see, we have a faith and we have a God that I think is big enough to handle our shaking fists when we raise them heavenward. God, why? God, how? And this week, we're exploring how it is that we can have peace at the same time that we're experiencing pain. So often we think that peace and pain are on two opposite ends of the spectrum, right? We have this cultural understanding that peace is this image of lying in a hammock, just hovering a little bit above the green grass, butterflies in the air, blue sky, maybe the sound of trickling water nearby, and all three of your kids, aged 10, 7, and 3, are napping. Or maybe that's just my vision of peace. There are moments like this, right, where we experience the absence of conflict, the absence of turmoil, the absence of strife. But for people of faith, peace is not the absence of pain. I believe our faith equips us to find peace in the midst of it, in the midst of the choppy waters, the chaos, the confusion, the despair that we feel. We can still find peace. But how? How? Can you think of the worst injury you've ever suffered? Maybe as a child. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was in the backyard. And in the backyard, we had one of those cheap metal A-frame swing sets. Do you know? Can you imagine it? The type of metal that was so cheap that if you wanted to pretend to be a strong man, even when you were 8 years old, you could bend the metal. That's how cheap the metal on the swing set was. We had one of those that was on its last leg. The type of swing set that if you were pumping your legs hard enough, you could make the whole set levitate off the ground. Well, Chris and I were in the backyard, my neighborhood buddy, and we were playing around with that swing set. And if you can imagine the A-frame on the side, it's connected by that little tiny piece of metal. Can you think of it? It holds the whole set together. Well, ours was a little bit loose, and I started jiggling it. And wouldn't you know it popped off, the rusty end and all. And then I heard Chris, my friend, say, "They're coming, Lorne, they're coming." Oh no. Jenny and Michelle. Jenny was my sister. Michelle was Chris's, 3 years older than both of us. And we heard them running around the side of the house, and we were certain they were going to just mess with us like they always did. So Chris said, "Run!" And we were running toward that big tree in the back corner of the yard, and we're running, and I'm holding that metal pole, and I trip over a tree root, and I impale myself. I won't get too graphic, but the thing had to be pulled out at the hospital. Impale was the right word. What followed? Tetanus shot, stitches. I'm not going to show you because this is church, but I still have the scar right here. The little jagged thing right here. I'm kind of proud of it now. Do you know what made that horrible, excruciating experience of physical pain tolerable? You probably do. My mother did not leave my side from the moment she came out the back door until I was in bed asleep that night. And all the while they're cleaning it with that burning alcohol at the hospital, my mom's just holding my hand and I'm able to squeeze it really hard. In the midst of this physical pain, it was my mother's presence that gave me peace. I felt the pain, but I also had this peace with her presence. Or I can think of just a few years ago, I was in the backyard with hedge trimmers, electric hedge trimmers attached to a cord. Okay, and it was wrapped around the house, plugged in somewhere, and I'm just on a mission to trim these tall bush-like tree things in the backyard, and wouldn't you know it, I'm moving too far, and the thing snapped back and nearly cut off the tip of this finger. If you want to see it after worship, I'll show you. It had to be sewed back on. I immediately call Becca, who's at Home Depot or somewhere, and she rushes home. She takes me. The only thing that gave me peace when I'm feeling physical pain is the presence of somebody else. Now, here's why I took us down this rabbit trail, this gruesome sermon. We intuitively understand how to find peace and comfort when we are physically wounded. It's so natural. You scrape your knee, you break your foot, you, God forbid, fall and break a hip. We intuitively know that we need other people to surround us to give us peace when we are physically injured or wounded. We actually don't have any problem with accepting the help when we are physically wounded. But why is it that when we suffer emotional wounds, we hide them? We hide them. We don't let anyone into our inner world when we are wounded or injured emotionally. I think this is one of the big temptations that we face. And it's like a poison inside of us. Because we don't just suffer physical wounds. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, well, they cut deeper. We all know what it's like to experience a wound of the heart, a wound of the ego, a wound of the mind. Maybe it comes in the form of a bad performance review at work and you don't want to talk about it or tell anyone. Maybe it comes through a relationship that's been fractured. A friend, a family member says something to you that hurts deeply. Maybe you're struggling with your mental health, which is nothing to be ashamed of. But for some reason, unlike a broken foot, you feel like you can't tell anyone that you need help navigating and walking through the world. We suffer relationship stress and drama. Our marriages are in crisis, and yet we don't open up. Why? Why? And yet, the single thing I believe that can give us comfort and peace in the midst of our emotional wounds is when we open them up and share them with other people. When we invite other people to sit with us and be present in the midst of our pain. I have found that the two words that provide the most comfort when we are going through one of these crises in our lives are the words, "me too." I know what that's like. I felt that way before. You are not alone. That is a channel and a passageway through which God can actually deliver peace. It's a peace that doesn't take away the pain, but it's a peace that gives us courage and a pathway to navigate it. I bet that you can think of a moment in your life when somebody opened up, was vulnerable enough to share the struggles and the hardships that they have experienced, and I bet it has made all the difference in your life. I think this is what Jesus is doing in Luke chapter 24. Think of the scene for a moment. The disciples are in physical pain, emotional pain. They are literally locked away in a room because they're afraid that they will be crucified next. They had just experienced Jesus arrested, beaten, crucified, thrown in a tomb, and they are in hiding. They are in physical and emotional prison. And I love that this is the first resurrection story, the very first story we get, the very first depiction of what new life in light of the resurrection looks like, happens in the context of people that are hiding. Jesus appears, and did you hear the first words that he speaks to them? Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't go to Peter, you're Peter today, and he doesn't say, "Peter, buddy, pal, I told you so. I told you you'd deny me three times. And you know what? You know what? When I was being beaten, I heard the cock crow. So what do you have to say to me?"
"Sorry. I'm so sorry."
No, that's not what he does. The first words that Jesus says are, "Peace be with." In other words, our relationship is never going to be defined based off your perfect behavior. Our relationship is defined based off of my love, my peace. Peace be with you. And then I love what he does, how he actually extends peace. He shows them his hands and his side. In other words, he says, "Look at my wounds. Look at the marks of how I've been. I know you are hurting. I know you're afraid. I know you are terrified. Look at my wounds. Peace." Jesus wasn't just offering peace. He was offering them a passageway to be sent back into the world, a playbook for which they could then be a witness to this message. He's saying, as you are sent out into the world, don't be afraid to show other people your wounds. Don't be afraid to show other people how you've been hurt. That is how the gospel will take root and grow in people's lives. You see, the disciples were called, we are called, just like Jesus, to go into the world to find hurting, wounded people that feel alone, afraid, scared, rejected, and to show them that we have felt those same things, and yet, in the midst of it, we are also living into a new story of hope, of peace in the midst of the pain. Don't be afraid to show your wounds. Go into the world. As the Father has sent me, I now send you. You see, Jesus didn't send the disciples out to be perfect, to go sing a happy, clappy song, to join the praise band. Jesus sent the disciples into the world, scars and all, to go point to how through the scars, through the pain, God writes a new story. You know, when I was little and I'd scrape those knees and I'd scrape the elbow, after about 2 or 3 days, my mom would call me over and she'd say, "Lauren, it's time we take those band-aids off." "Why, Mom?" "Well, we need to let them breathe. Those little scrapes need some sunlight. They need some fresh air. We need to let them breathe." I think the question for us to ponder this week is, what injury or wound are you silently suffering with that maybe you need to let breathe a little? You need to uncover a little. And when we do that, although we may risk infection or re-injury, we also create an opportunity for others to say, "I've been hurt that way. I know what it's like to feel that." And somehow we find peace. It doesn't take away the pain, but it helps us navigate it. Amen.